We continue along in the narrative lectionary, and you get a bonus point. Anyone know what book we're studying today? Don't be shy. Isaiah, very good. And so the narrative lectionary actually has us reading a lot of Isaiah 36 and 37, and we'd be here a long time to read those texts. So I just want to summarize them, and that there's a lot of violence happening, a lot of threats to those who are in Israel, and they feel scared and full of fear. And this is a response of the prophet Isaiah to them from chapter 2, and we'll obviously explore some more of that story as we listen to the sermon today. But I invite you to read with me on page 550 in your pew Bible, and this is the second chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem: in the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Gracious God, again, we come with hearts that perhaps feel burdened from a week, or perhaps are so excited for this week to come. So whatever state we might find ourselves in this day, we know that you are a God who is there for all of us, faithful to us. We praise you and we love you. Amen. So a couple of weeks ago, our family took a familiar trip for us down to Kansas City to visit our oldest daughter, who's a sophomore in college. She attends William Jewell College, which is in Liberty, Missouri. Now, what many people don't know about William Jewell College is it's actually the oldest college, four-year college, west of the Mississippi. So you can impress all your relatives at Thanksgiving dinner this week. So I also attended William Jewell many, many years ago and spent many times, many days, obviously walking across the campus, and I like to think that I'm a pretty observant person. I was also a history and religion major, and so many of the things that happened in this world, I've taken note of because I love history, love people and relationships. And so as we were walking around the campus a few weeks ago, I noticed a plaque that I had never seen before in my years there as a student. And it's called The Trenches on the Hill. William Jewell sits high on a hill, and it talks about the Civil War, which William Jewell began in 1849 when it was founded. And so it was a pivotal place during the Civil War. It housed soldiers there. There's actually bullet marks you can see in the buildings there. But the thing that struck me about this plaque was that it talked about the time in which they were so fearful in the city of Liberty that they were going to be under attack that they invited all of the neighbors, those who lived down in the village, to take the doors off of their homes and to put those doors up on the hill as a guard against the incoming, the enemy that was coming to get them. On the plaque, it says that that attack never happened, and the doors all went back to the homes. And it ends with the scripture that we read today from Isaiah 2. And as I read that plaque, I thought it was so peculiar that they had noted this historical fact about the members of the community taking their actual doors off of their homes. And I pictured in my mind what that scene must have looked like, right? to ask everyone to do that and to take their doors up. And I could envision them streaming up that hill with the doors, probably full of fear, full of what's going to happen next, that sense of not knowing. And it happens to all of us, perhaps not that we fear that the enemy is coming with a cannonball to get us, but there is that sense of feeling anxious, and that we strive in that anxiety for one word, and it's peace. Peace in our hearts. We know that we pray, right, for peace in our world. And yet we know that peace has to start in our own hearts and the ways in which we live our life each and every day. King Hezekiah, who we read about in Isaiah 36 and also in 2 Kings, he was a man of God, had great trust in God's love and direction for him and for the people of Israel. And yet, the king of Assyria was trying to kind of put the fear that there was going to be this attack on the people of Israel. And so Hezekiah goes to Isaiah the prophet and says, I don't know what to do. Because I'm hearing that God, you may not be there for us. You may not protect us in this attack. And Isaiah brings these words of comfort that we read today from chapter 2. Isaiah gives us the whole picture of what it means to be a follower of Christ. That yes, there are the enemies out there. There are situations that distract us from God's love and God's purpose for our life. But the big picture that we read about, envision it for me, people streaming up into the mountain to find God, to let God be the one to be the judge, to be the one who decides, right? That it's not our responsibility to judge others, but instead to have this call on our life for peace, not only for ourselves, but those around us, even our enemies, or those with whom we find it difficult to be around a table with, even on a special Thursday in November. To ask for peace at each and every turn is the opportunity that Isaiah is giving us, giving the people of Israel to put their trust into God and to lay down their weapons, that day indeed will come. It's clearly an eschatological passage for us. That might be a big word for us, right? But thinking about the end times and what this world is going to look like, that in God's providence that there won't be war. We won't even need to teach about it because peace will prevail. I love this passage today to think about what does it look like to walk in the light of the Lord. Last Sunday, Pastor Dan talked also about how is it that we walk, right? Our physical walk, our sense of peace in our lives. Do we have that ultimate calling of God to our heart that there is peace available for each and every one of us? The question becomes for us is what is our purpose? Is it to always be right? Is it to prove? To put our hands on our hips and to say, I know I'm right? Or is it to realize the importance of peace and reconciliation? And that maybe on this earthly journey, we don't get our way, but we yield. We yield to God, that God's purpose is to bring peace, and that we can be that person of peace. even when others may reject it. Think about in your own heart, what is your purpose? Each and every day, when you wake up, ask yourself that question, what's my purpose today? Just to survive, get through the day? Or is it to be that person of peace who provides encouragement, who provides an attitude that you're not alone in this journey, that peace of God is there for you? One of the great saints that we're going to learn about today in Sunday school is Saint Columba, and he may not be a saint that you're familiar with. He actually was an Irish monk, and he left Ireland back in 563. There was some stress there with the bishop, and so he decided to head out on this journey of discovery. And he landed on the island of Iona, which you've heard a little bit about from me lately, on the western side of Scotland. And Columba had this purpose for his life, that he wanted everyone, not just the people in Ireland or Scotland, but everyone in this whole wide world, to know the truth of the gospel, that Jesus had come to this earth not much before Columba came to this earth, to be the incarnation of God, to walk and to teach and to talk love and truth, and to really help people understand, what does it mean to be good in this world? There's a story that I told you about probably 10 years ago. It was 10 years ago, in 2008. It was a story of two college students from Emory University. And their story is one in which their lives merged one day on a bus as they were going to the airport to pick up prospective students who were coming to visit Emory, which is in Atlanta. So Robbie Brown and Liz Schultes met for the first time on that van ride. And Liz was sharing with Robbie and everyone else in the van about this ministry organization that she had started actually as a freshman in college in India, because she had spent her senior year there as a high school student. And as many of us have heard or maybe even witnessed visiting India, there are just millions of street children, children that have nowhere to go, and it's an overwhelming problem for the government there. And so she observed this, and her heart was convicted. What could she do? And so she, along with seven of her friends and some parental assistants, they began a school there called the Ashraha Initiative for Children. Ashraha means hope in Hindi. And so she told this story on the van, and with her excitement and her passion of how important it is in her life that she has a purpose and that others are helping her. And so graduation day came at Emory that year, and as Robbie and Liz were both graduates, there was a prize to be awarded called the McMullen Award. And it went to the senior at Emory who had exhibited great scholastic ability and also great character. The award came along with a check for $20,000 with no strings attached. And so that day at Emory, the president awarded Robbie Brown a check for $20,000 as he won the McMullen Award. After the graduation service was over, Robbie found Liz. They weren't friends. All they had had was that experience that day on the van ride to the airport. And he handed her the envelope that had the check for $20,000 in it. And he said, I want you to use this for your ministry, for your school in India. He walked away that day a winner, and some might think he walked away a loser because he gave away that check. Robert Nishioka, who is a Presbyterian, sorry, Roger, he's the one that told me about this story. He's a great teacher, was down in Atlanta at Columbia Seminary, and now a pastor in Kansas City. And he studies young adults and why they do the things they do. And so this story obviously touched him to think about, why was it that Robbie was so convicted that he wanted to bring this check to Liz? And so he located Robbie and he said, you know, I'm so curious why you did this. How are you doing? And Robbie said, well, my dad's a little upset with me. Gave away that $20,000. But I realized I had to do it. And Roger pushed him. But why? Why did you do it? And he said, well, I realized in this life that it's more important to do good than to do well. It's more important to do good than to do well. It's a choice that all of us have each day to think about the difference that we can make with God's strength and help to do good, to bring peace to situations. So you fast forward 10 years now, and Liz has continued this ministry and it has grown in India where they're serving thousands of children through their school, have graduates that have gone on for higher education. Her life was full of purpose, and it was encouraged by the sacrifice of a young man named Robbie. You may not get a $20,000 check today, but God has already given each of us so many gifts that we can bring peace to this world. Try to think of one thing that would bring peace today, tomorrow, this week in your life. Each of us has that opportunity to know that we were indeed created for a purpose. Will we live out this purpose that God so vividly describes in Isaiah chapter 2 for us? That God is no longer a mighty warrior who fights with other nations, but rather God is the great, great teacher of God's ways, the righteous judge between nations, between families, that God's peace prevails for us. You might remember the song that Thomas Dorsey wrote that Elvis made famous back in the day called Peace in the Valley. I want to leave you with these words. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me, O Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There'll be peace in the valley for me. The bear will be gentle and the wolves will be tame. And the lion shall lay down by the lamb, oh yes. And the beast from the wild shall be lit by a child. And I'll be changed. Changed from this creature that I am, oh yes. There'll be peace in the valley for me someday. Isaiah wants us to know that that peace comes to us as we love our neighbor as ourself, as we love God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul. May it be so. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for the lessons that we learn each and every day. May we be humble in receiving the ways in which you would have us to live this life. Would we know in our true, true heart that peace, it does come. It comes with effort. It comes with faith. It comes with believing in the big picture that you provide for us. We thank you for the prophet Isaiah. Most of all, God, we thank you for giving us your Son, and we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.